Welcome to the Functional Health Coaching Show, where we are here to support and answer your questions so that you can help people on a deeper level get real results and grow your health coaching business. Do you have questions you want to ask live on the show? You can call in every Friday at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 1-347-637-1378. Are you looking to increase your credibility and grow your health coaching business using functional lab testing and data-driven protocols so that you can confidently solve health issues? Well, we have the course for you. Go to fdn.today/show to learn more and sign up today. Okay, let's join today's episode.
Well, happy Friday, everyone. You're tuning in again to the FDN Fantastic Friday Call, otherwise known as the Functional Health Coaching Show. And I'm your host, once again, Brandon Mollet, FDN mentor, practitioner, clinical advisor, proud practitioner. Glad to be with you guys today again on our weekly Friday call. We've been doing this call for over 10 years, so whenever you're listening to this, today is May 1st, 2020, but it may be May 1st, 2022 when you're listening to this. I have no idea. So we record these. There are available for you on the archive with show notes, so you can go and do a little search and find something maybe we've covered and answered before. We answer a lot of questions on this show, and that's sort of our job, is to be support for you guys. Wherever you're at in the course, as a trainee or as a graduate working on a case, or just thinking about taking our course and becoming a certified FDN practitioner, again, to do this amazing work that I'm thankful to get to do every single day. So, again, these calls are recorded for you guys to go back and listen to. We've got over 10 years there for you guys to go back and study and learn from and hear different people talk about the work that we do. If it's me or Brendan or Brandy or Tess or any of our former mentors or our advisory board have been on many times, you know, a lot of those names. And so always go back and listen, hear those things, keep those things going in. So, again, hopefully you're doing that. It's one of the keys to learning, the repetition, hearing those things over and over again. This is a live call, though, so if you want to call in and ask a question and make a comment, we'd love it. That number is 347-637-1378. Again, 347-637-1378. And just hit 1 on the keypad there, and I'll bring you on. I'll call out your area code and ask your name, and then if you want to make a comment or ask a question, be great. So I think I'm flying solo here today, guys, on the call. So it'll just be me, so you guys are welcome to jump in there with the call. I've got several written-in questions that I'll try to cover here today. And, again, hope things are good for you guys. I'm in the southeastern United States, and it's a beautiful day. It's 75 and sunny and low humidity, and it's been wonderful. So I'm looking forward to a nice weekend and getting outside and some fresh air and some sunshine. That's my part of my plan is recovery, rejuvenation, working in some of that stress reduction, all those things, because we've got to do that. We've got to do our own dress protocols, take care of our own health, be an example to our clients. And also we just know that's what you should do if you're going to have a sustainable career, a sustainable life. You've got to do things, have that balance between those intense times of work, maybe where you're at it pretty hard for a while and you take those breaks and you ebb and flow back and forth. Maybe that's throughout the day. You have your breaks built in, especially taking that time, hopefully on the weekends, or hey, if you make your own schedule, you can do it anytime you want to. Tuesday could be your day off, whatever. So listen to your body rhythms. A lot of people are doing that right now, being home, learning how to do that. It's kind of getting the benefit of working from home, because there are many of those, or making your own schedule. But anyhow, so things are good here. FDN is going strong. A lot of verbal finals coming through right now. A lot of you guys booking in for those. And a lot of people coming on, taking the course. So things are moving along nicely. A lot of awesome, excited practitioners getting ready to do the work that I've gotten to do for 10 years now. And again, very, very thankful for that and thankful for Reed, to his guidance and mentorship. We had a good call this week on Wednesdays. Usually Wednesdays, about every other week on Wednesdays, we'll come on Facebook Live for trainees and we'll answer some of your questions there. Also, give you some announcements, just let you see our faces, know that we're out there. And also, if you guys don't know about us trainees, there is a trainee study hour. It's every Friday, so before I jump on here on the podcast, every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. So that gets going. So usually Dawn and Reed are on there, so it's a Zoom call. There should be a link there if you want to click on that Zoom call, jump on that call, and ask questions and get some help if you want to get support that way, if you like that. Of course, you can post on Facebook. You can email, ask during the mentoring sessions. But just giving you every way that we can think of for you guys to have good support moving through the course. And then once you're graduated, you become a member of AFDMP in our association. That support continues, and we just continue keeping doing the great work that we're doing. All right, so not too many people lined up today here on the call. And hope everything's coming through loud and clear on my end. Hope for you guys. A couple announcements here also other than the trainee study hour. So keep in mind, the FTN conference is definitely still on. So we're going to have our third conference here in October. 23rd to the 25th are the dates on that. Special pricing now is back with tickets. So look at the information there, FDNconference.com. It'll be an amazing weekend. Already thinking about it, excited about seeing everybody again and the amazing speakers and vendors and being connected there together, especially now in this connection in some ways, but we're doing the best that we can. But make plans to come on and be with us. So beautiful San Diego, Hard Rock Hotel, where it was last year, really good venue. They did a great job accommodating us, and lots of things to do nearby if you want to venture out or to stay kind of put. I ended up staying put a lot because there was so much to do in the hotel, and I wanted to be able to connect with everybody. So awesome vendors, amazing speakers we'll have, biggest concentrations of FDM practitioners in one spot that you're going to have probably all year. So keep that in mind. Let's see. I think that's maybe the bigger things there, just make sure you guys are aware of. Otherwise, I've got a couple people I want to congratulate here. Our graduates this week, and I've got two of them. This is good. So we're kind of on maybe on either coast there. I've got California, I've got Virginia, so either end, but really awesome. So we always congratulate our graduates on air, give you a shout-out, and because we know, once you know, we're proud of you. You did a lot to accomplish this certification, and you'll continue to grow, and we're excited about where you're going to take it, who you're going to help, what you're going to do with it. So I get excited when I get to say congratulations to everybody. So it's a good time for me, too. But we've got two this week, two awesome ladies here. So I've got Katie Reed, and she's from Redding, California. And then Kiara Orbe, and she's from Virginia. So, ladies, good job. Congratulations. Welcome to the ranks, and we look forward to working with you. Very cool. So there's a couple more that you'll read to be able to talk to on your postgraduate interview. So by that graduates, you got another call there with Reed to do a little career coaching, a little bit of advice, a little bit of, okay, help me with some next steps here. We provide that as well for you. All right. Well, there's some guys jumping on. Thanks, guys, for jumping on there. I see several of you guys jumping in today. So we've got a lot of time to talk. Hopefully you don't get tired of me on the call here. Brendan's been on with me quite a bit here lately with this having less travels there. So and then I think we'll hopefully we'll have a kind of a mix here, it sounds like, what we're going to do a little bit coming forward on a somewhat of a schedule there. So many of you guys know Ryan Monahan, amazing FDM practitioner. He's been much more active there and helping out with AFDMP on the Facebook group there, doing some clinical advisorship, getting more involved in helping you guys as graduates there. So he's going to come on and do some hosting with me as well. So he'll have his perspective on things and his way of speaking and communicating all straight down the FDN line, but everybody has their own voice and their own experiences and things that they bring to it. So I like to hear that. So Ron's an awesome guy, so you should be hearing from him here as the weeks progress, as we go in into this summer. So all right. Well, I'm going to open this up for callers and for questions. I think we'll go there and give you guys some support and some help here. So, again, you're listening to the FDN Fantastic Friday Call on May 1st, 2020. I'm your host, Brandon Mollet. And I'll start with a question here that I've got one here. So sort of a timely one, I would say here is advice for someone who has consistent sinus problems. I had a sinus infection a few years ago, and my sinus has never fully recovered. I have lots of postnasal drainage, and my left sinus is frequently clogged. Okay, so definitely this time of year, at least in, I guess, Northern Hemisphere, you're hearing a lot about sinus issues and allergy issues and things like that. Now, some people, it's more of a seasonal thing where you've got you know, plants doing their thing and putting pollen and particulates and things into the air, and you have more of that seasonal allergy. And I think more like this one here, a person has had consistent sinus problems, so maybe it's one of those chronic things, like it's really you're on Zyrtec or Claritin or something all year long. It never really changes. You don't have much reprieve at all from it, and it's just a chronic sinus issue. So that tissue there is an issue for you. So I think either way, you sort of think about it the same ways with an FDN. And the first thing is that we don't really treat anything specifically, right? So now, you can incorporate some intelligent allopathy. We'll talk about that in a second. But nothing's being treated specifically with how we work. And that's the nice thing, right? So you don't have to be an expert in every single thing. And really, it's because the body, as Reed was talking about this week here on the Trainee Live, it's because the body is so complex. You know, it's almost impossible to get so specific because there's so many complexities to it. So the principles are simple, and you want to apply those to any situation. So so some of these sinus issues can resolve more quickly than others. Because I think about the sinuses, I'm thinking about, well, this same tissue that's in the sinus cavity, which if you realize there's a whole lot of space up in there, that's the same tissue that's going down into the digestive system. So very much a connection there between gut health and health of the sinus area. So pretty much anything that you're going to be working on that's going to support the gut is probably going to have this residual effect to the sinus area, and breathing, respiratory things is all sort of connected. So anything you would do to work on the gut is going to help with that. So, you know, of course, dietary changes, right? So food sensitivity testing, removing inflammatory foods, listening to your body, all those things. So removing inflammatory foods, and everything we're doing as far as mucosal barrier support. So you support the mucosal barriers, then you're going to have much better tissue health through in that area, and that same tissue is going to be up there. So the inflammation that's in the gut can also make its way sort of to the sinuses. So you're trying to reduce inflammation that's what happens when you work on any kind of gut support that we do. So working on the mucosal barrier, removing microorganisms, right? So pathogens, parasites, worms, viruses, bacteria, yeast, things that don't belong. And then coaching up some of those good bacteria, those good beneficial yeast, things that we want to have in there so we have more balance to the gut. So the first step, somebody has sinus issues with me, I'm marking that maybe as one of their main complaints, and I'm aware of this, maybe aware of what they're taking over the counter to deal with that. But the first place I'm going to go is just sort of work on the FDN side of things, right? So work on the gut. And that most of the time, those sinus issues are going to get better with that work right there. So focus on that first. Work through that. Hydration would be a big one also, right? Very basic thing is the hydration side of things. So any kind of tissue has to be well hydrated, right? So if you're having a reaction there, having drainage or something plugging up, that's part of your body is kind of releasing. It's kind of like, I guess, like diarrhea in your head. Your body's trying to flush something out. So maybe it's inflammatory particles. Maybe it's, you know, on a bigger level, if those things don't start to improve, could there be some mold toxicity, some things like that? Could there be an environmental situation? So if it's a long-term chronic thing, get to look at also environmental things. So is there some mold in the house? Is there mold type things? Or at least can their body process the mold that's in their sinus area? We talked about this a little bit with last week with Brendan on debulizing biocidin or biocidin LSF and some of the things you want to watch out for that, but trying to get some nasal irrigation in there to clean some things out. So the whole and basics of FDN should start to also balance that immune system more so. So you have also the histamine component. So we're all going to be producing some kind of histamine response to foods or environmental things. But your ability to break down that histamine and get it out of your system is also a big thing, and your gut has to be healthy to do that. So if you have histamine-type responses. So you've got the skin issues, the eye, watery eyes, the watery nose, red eyes, all these sort of typical histamine responses. Again, going back to that, working on that gut, you should be able to break down some more of that histamine or maybe even reduce the histamine response by pulling off all these stressors. So, you know, it's going back to the same basic things, guys. It's nothing too wild. So if those things don't start to see some shifts, let's talk about maybe intelligent allopathy when it comes to this. So it's a question that I planned on doing on the Friday call, but we grabbed it on Wednesday with Reed as far as the term intelligent allopathy. What is that? Well, where did that come from? Is that one that, you know, we made up, or is that a known? What is that? And Reed elaborated on that. Make sure you go back and watch that, trainees, there on that video. But Reed elaborated on that. That was a phrase that Bill Wolcott had used kind of in passing, and Reed picked up on that and said, oh, that's a good way to explain things. And so so allopathy is the basically addressing of symptoms. In this most cases, people would say with pharmaceuticals, right? So you're trying to turn off symptoms with some kind of chemical. And so you can do symptom treatment or address symptoms allopathically using natural stuff as well. And a lot of you guys probably got pretty good at that. I know I did with limited resources. I didn't always have lab testing to help me assess what's going on in the body. I had to get really good at guessing and saying, oh, well, you come in and you've got, you know, a sinus issue, you can't sleep, you've got a headache, you can't poop. I was pretty good at picking out some vitamins or minerals or herbs or something that might help that person. And a lot of times, hey, you get kind of good at some of these things. So, hey, you know, that white willow bark and that feverfew supplement that you gave me, boy, that really helped the headaches. I don't have headaches anymore. Or, hey, these, you know, herbs that you gave me, some senna and cascara sagrada and some turkey rhubarb and all these, this mix you gave me there, boy, I'm moving a lot better. I like that. So, and, you know, sometimes it's good enough for people, and that's all they really are looking for is a quick fix and trying to treat symptoms. And the warning there is that you can treat those symptoms and address symptoms and turn those off with natural stuff too. Hopefully we want to go deeper than that. So intelligent allopathy is the use of, in this case, we'll say it's intelligent because we're using it something that hopefully has no long-term residual effect on the body, something that's negative, and most natural products are going to have a lesser chance of causing some kind of damage to the system. And also intelligently, so it's not the end result. It's not the final, that's all you've got to offer them. You've got to do the deeper things. A good example of this might be melatonin supplementation, right? So it might be something you run a lab test there and they have some sleep issues and melatonin is low, you might say, hey, you could consider trying out some melatonin to help you with sleep. Okay, to get that rhythm maybe back in order, give them some relief, help them out. Hey, you were compassionate people, right? So help that person feel better. But is that the only thing that you want to do? No, it's treating the test results. That's treating the numbers. That's treating the paper. You want to do all the things that you know that you can teach them on sleep hygiene, number one. But then we know melatonin production's mostly coming from the gut. Like 75% of that melatonin's from the gut. So, again, going back to working on gut health, that should hopefully raise that melatonin where they don't need supplemental melatonin anymore because their body is making the appropriate amounts, right? So those just basics of FTN, right, those root cause things. And people love that. They really make sense to them. They get excited about that concept of, yeah, why would I – yeah, what? My car's making a noise. I don't just keep driving it. I'm going to pull over, pop the hood, and figure out what's going on here. I don't want my engine to blow up. We don't really treat our bodies quite that good, but that's what's going on when you have a symptom. The body's saying, hey, pull over, pop the hood, let's take a look and see what's going on. So intelligent allopathy is not your end result. That's not the only thing that you go deeper. So back to the sinus question here. So maybe I can take the whole hour answering this one. No hands raised right now, so maybe I will. So on the sinus side of things, what can you do to help support the sinuses directly? So there are definitely lots of different herbs that have some sinus support to them. So lots of things out there you can give a shot, you can try. Many things you can do as far as nasal rinses or irrigation. So simply like a neti pot or just snorting salt water from a bowl that you could put your head down into. So breathing in and snorting some of that, something in there into those sinus areas can be very helpful. There definitely are more natural sprays you can use if they're saline sprays or xylitol or some herbals or some homeopathics. Those things can be very helpful. Chiropractic adjustments. Right, so if I have sinus stuff going on, I might mention to my chiropractor, hey, you know, I'm having some issues here in the sinus area. You know, feel around and do this little thing and help push out some of the stuff that's in there. And it's very, very rare that I ever get a really major sinus issue at all. Usually I address it very, very quickly. A lot of times I'll go for some herbs, you know. I'll try to just support my tissue there. Also, you have ecology, biological microbiome in your head, in your mouth area. So sometimes you can have that imbalance. And so I know there are some probiotics that are specifically for like oral or sinus probiotics. So if you want to go to a next level, if you have really chronic issues and everything you're doing is not working, you can start to work on the ecology in the sinus area. You know, Biocidin as nasal irrigation is, I think, great. And then even just holding the Biocidin. That's all one I always kind of go to there, holding that in the mouth and letting some of that work its way up. Whenever I take Biocidin, I did some last night and 10 drops in there, and I held it in my mouth for several minutes. So helps with dental health. It's going to help with ecology. It's all in the head mouth area. So that can help as well. Let's see. What am I kind of forgetting there? So, yeah, and then, you know, if those things are a bigger issue there, it might be a mold side of things. So you want to remediate the mold, get the environmental component there out where they're not breathing it in continually, clearing that out. We've got a lot of good folks who are really affected by mold within our course, but also have lots of information about that. So something else to consider. Yeah, so most things kind of come to mind there. I'm thinking through the sinus side of things now. You can definitely do some things like quercetin or vitamin C or sting nettle, some of these other blends here for allergies. Those might be something you recommend just to those, you know, 1 month or so in the springtime, that 1 month in the fall where people might have a little more of something kicked up that's temporary. Yeah, so focus on the foundations, obviously, but then there are some things you can use for intelligent allopathy that can help that person out. So, yeah. So hopefully that's helpful. I think we answered that one. Yeah, okay. All right. So, yeah, so about 35 minutes or so left in the call today. If anybody wants to jump on and say hey, you can hit 1 in the keypad and say hello and answer a question if you'd like. Okay. All right, so let's see. What else do I have? I was going to ask about this. I had one I was hoping Brenda was going to be on with me for us. I may save that one for later on. Here's a more of a technical question here. So the person is wondering if there is a price list for all the tests that will eventually be able to us be available to us upon graduation. So, yeah, so as you're moving through the course, we keep you kind of hemmed in there a little bit and say, hey, focus on these foundational labs, right? Because that's really where most of the magic happens. It's the foundations. It's what's been proven over and over again. I've proved it to myself for 10 years. Reed's done it for longer. A lot of us out there, it's those foundational labs. So have you focused on that, kind of put the blinders on and get the foundation laid properly. It's not to you know, take away your fun or limit you for any reason other than we know that we can get distracted by shiny objects or shiny tests or new things and kind of chase some of those things, and you forget to lay a really good foundation. So the foundation is key. If you don't have a good foundation laid, you can't build on top of that. Right? That's just the principle every philosopher in religion and everything has said. You have to lay that foundation, right? So lay that foundation well. That's the key there. So anything beyond that, you have access to after graduation, right? Lots of things, and we can support you there as well. So you have access to those. That price list there, it's ever-changing because this industry does change. Not every day, but it does change. We update that frequently. Best place to go for all that information is going to be the Medical Director Program page. So if you've ordered lab kits through there, you've been there, so under FTN Connect, go to FTNConnect.com, log in there as a student, trainee, and Medical Director Program. Click right there. All those tests will be available. Pricing is there, of course, but then lots of awesome information, lots of information about that lab, things to think about, preparation, kind of some pros and some cons to it, help evaluate the decision there. Usually some sample reports are there. Sometimes more than what the lab offers. We've got quite a bit of information there for you guys. So that's where I would go for that. If you have questions on that, that's your best place to go for information. All right. Quick one, easy one, hopefully. Sorry, I usually have a break where I can catch my breath and have a drink of water. So got to stay hydrated during this hour, right? All right. Oh, great. I got a hand raise, so I'll grab a caller here. Okay, if you guys want to call in, 347-637-1378 is that number. All right, I've got 810 area code here. So, hello, 810 area code. What's your name?
Hello, Brandon. This is Rennie calling from Michigan. How are you today?
Well, hey, Rennie, I'm doing awesome. Good to hear from you.
So good to hear from you. And you know, the weather is great in here as well, and a lot of people are doing their grass, so I'll mute myself. I hope it's not too loud, but some neighbor is working on the grass. Anyhow, I'm so happy that I'm able to, you know, ask a few questions here, and just going along with what you were explaining about the intelligent allopathy, and I have two questions, actually. And the first one, I am trying to help a family member from Europe, you know, Europe, Bulgaria. So I'm not able to run the test, but this has to do with what would be the best, more of a natural approach, besides, of course, trying to guide them through the DRESS protocol. But again, intelligent allopathy for more of a moderate to probably more of a severe form of rheumatoid arthritis. What has worked in your experience? You know, anything that you can recommend? And then the second question would be in regards to the thyroid health. I wanted to ask you advice on a best test since I'm just starting out now. So.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. So, yeah. So, okay. So, rheumatoid arthritis there. So, obviously, it's an autoimmune condition. So, we've got your body attacking connective tissue. And the joint's going to be one of those things they're going to have. So, definitely not a pleasant situation. My grandmother had that for many years, and I saw her struggle with that condition before I even knew about anything healthy, natural at all. So, you know, look back and, you know, wish I could have helped, but, you know, you help whoever you can at the time that's willing to work and put the work in. So rheumatoid arthritis there. So, you know, when it comes to an autoimmune condition and wishing for it to go into remission, the gut and the immune system is going to be really the big key there. So like you're saying there, Rennie, so work through the DRESS protocol. There are lab testing options. I will say this. Check with Brandy on that or Christina, their medical director program. There are some options for testing in Europe, actually quite a few. So there probably is some lab work that you could do if they have that in the plans there. I definitely would consider that. So look and see what options you have. As far as the pain associated with rheumatoid arthritis, I'm just thinking about general things that come to mind that could be helpful. So things like a good quality fish oil, good EFAs, one foundational thing I would think about. You could go down the curcumin route or turmeric route, maybe like liposomal curcumin. Can be very good, absorbed pretty easily. You've also got some of the natural kind of pain relievers, I guess you'd say. So you go down the white willow bark or feverfew route. That might help take the edge off potentially. Again, this all intelligent allopathy here, not trying to turn everything off. We don't want, it's not going to be the, it probably won't, you know, make things go away completely. I don't know about this one. I'll throw it out there. Maybe you guys can correct me on this one. But I always also think about proteolytic enzymes, and so things like Wobenzym or some bromelain, some of these enzymes that can help. I don't know if that would be contraindicated there. I'd have to maybe get confirmation on that one. That's one, something to consider there. And then I also like infrared sauna. I don't think that would be a bad situation to do also. They could get either purchase an infrared sauna, or you can make one for pretty inexpensive. You get the parts and put together a pretty decent sauna. Also, that can really help with pain. It's called detoxification, energy, a lot of good things there. So it wouldn't have to be just supplementation. It could be something like infrared sauna would be good. So hydration is important. So when those things first come to mind, and it, of course, there's different things you could do. Laser therapy, you could do more specific things like that. Maybe a practitioner to help you with that side of things there. And then, yeah, there's a lot of dual devices out there that do some pretty amazing things when it comes to pain. But as far as stuff you could probably, you know, get a hold of readily, that's what I would think on those. So, yeah, anything to add to that, Rainey? Any thoughts?
Yes, I wondered. So what I, of course, I started working on the gut, and I wanted to make sure that the digestion is, you know, running more smoothly and that, you know, more regular. So I was really trying to coach my family member with that. But I also read before about the moringa. So I wondered, have you ever tried moringa? Like the, I think it's called like holy basil or whatever. They have also moringa tea, but this was more like a capsule. I think by a company, Organic India, but I wondered if you ever tried something like that that was helpful. I suggested this to my family, and I don't think it was just more, maybe like a very mild improvement. So I wondered if there is anything else, or have you tried something with moringa?
I've done holy basil. I know that the tea you're talking about, I've used that for in a pill form and in tea form. That's, to me, more of an adaptogenic herb, so it's more on the stress support, maybe anxiety and some of those things. Probably has some effect on the rest of the body. It's maybe the mechanism there. The moringa, I've seen that out there before. I think I've never taken it in a pill form. I think I've done some tea before. I don't think it would be bad to do. I don't know that you'd see a ton of benefit necessarily. Maybe it would be awesome, but I've not really used it that much before. So I don't, right off hand, I can't think of any reason why you wouldn't try it.
Yes. Well, we tried, so again, it helped just a little bit. But again, as we always go back to the total picture and starting with the DRESS protocol, and we don't have to work specifically on things. But just because sometimes people are in so much pain and, you know, you just want to, you know, to help them at the moment to kind of put the relief care. I really appreciate it, Brendan, and I will definitely, you know, figure out what else. And I appreciate you mentioning about perhaps looking into some available tests, you know, in Europe. So hopefully I'll be able to come across something specifically for that. And then the other question is, now this is for, I'm still again in the realm of helping family and friends, but I'm getting closer and closer to finding the real clients, you know, the ideal clients. So to speak, and, you know, developing website, all of this good stuff. But the other question was, again, in your experience, as far as, like, working with people who have thyroid problems. Now, a friend of mine, she's in a different state, but long, meaning, you know, she's outside of Michigan. But long story short, she was not so sure exactly what was happening with her thyroid. I think at a certain point she was diagnosed with hypothyroidism, and she's asking me to perhaps help her, kind of guide her, you know, in the right pathway. And I'm going to try to do that. But in the meantime, as she found out that I'm able to access different labs and that I became FDN, so I basically tried to find out what would be the best test. And like, say we start with the basic ones, you know, the hormone panel, maybe the saliva one. But if somebody is more, you know, concerned about their finances at the present time, which one of the tests for the thyroid would you recommend? I see the DHA, the one from the medical director program. Which one of those you most rely on from your experience? For a lady that is in her perimenopausal years, or maybe almost going into the menopause, I would say she's gotcha. Right now about maybe 57 years old.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, tying my hands are a little bit with trying to pick a lab. It's a very hard thing to do. Kind of goes into the way. I know you know that. So, I'd say you probably aren't going to get there with one lab, no matter which I choose. As far as thyroid support like that, it's just not going to happen. There's too many. The thyroid is so secondary. In most cases, it's such a secondary thing to everything else going on in the body, the endocrine system, in the gut, detoxification, mineral levels, heavy metals. diet, rest, exercise, stress reduction, all of those things. It's such a secondary thing. So when the body does have suboptimal thyroid function, the body is doing that on purpose. There's a reason it's doing that. So even with intelligent allopathy with the thyroid, it still kind of runs in opposition to what how we like to think about things. So the body knows what it's doing when it's lowering thyroid conversion or production. It's something kind of listening to the body in most cases, I would say. So there's a reason it's trying to slow things down because it has to heal, has to recover. So that's sort of the philosophy there. And then even if the thyroid is functioning well, it's producing enough, let's say T4, for example, well, there's a conversion process that happens before the T4 becomes T3, which is what all the cells need to have and utilize in the body. And most of that conversion happens in the liver and in the gut. So those functioning very well is super important. So now, typically when you have a thyroid situation, you know, gluten-free, dairy-free is going to be definite recommendations on diet. A lot of hypothyroid tends to be connected with Hashimoto's and an autoimmune condition. You kind of see that statistically. So elimination diet, maybe an AIP diet, autoimmune paleo protocol would be very smart to do as far as diet goes. Food sensitivity testing would be ideal, but that would be a smart thing to do. The gut's going to be very much tied in with this. So probably if I had to pick one that might get the most bang for the buck, and again, Reed might say, hey, what are you doing? To pick one, I'd say probably a stool test, right? So maybe GI map and take a look at what's going on there. Deal with microorganisms. You're going to get a lot of insight into detox and digestive health there. You're going to get inflammatory markers. Quite a bit of information on that lab. So that's probably going to have maybe some of the biggest effect on thyroid, but all of the things that we teach and we do are going to be part of that as well. So if you have to piecemeal it, just to help somebody, then that's where I would start. Ideally, she understands from you, and you'll communicate it very well, that she may make an investment. And part of the reason why maybe she's not seeing the results that she wants to see with her health is because she's just never made that big enough investment in her health. And it's going to pay off, you know, in spades, right? It's just a wonderful thing to work through that. So I would go through those 8 questions with her also. And ask specifically, okay, how is this holding you back in life? How is it keeping you from doing or enjoying or trying to accomplish? And try to paint that picture of how good things are going to be if this is dealt with completely and thoroughly. And you're going to see improvement for sure. So I would do that. Now, the now blood testing and actually looking at thyroid hormone levels in the blood, that has limited benefit. To me, that's more of information you would have that would say, okay, here's the actual status. You might get some insight into if it's a production issue or a conversion issue or if there's some antibodies there, you might see some autoimmunity. Is it going to make a big difference in what you're going to do with your protocol? Maybe not. There are some more kind of intelligent allopathy guessing things you can do with that information. I'd probably use any kind of blood testing that she has maybe done with a doctor or you might order to use that just as a gauge for progress to see if things are moving hopefully in the right direction. So all a thyroid test would tell you probably this time is that, hey, it's underactive. You've got low hormones here. You've got some things going on here. Probably wouldn't give you enough actionable information, I would say. So I would go down the gut route if you had to pick one.
Yes, I really appreciate it. And here is the other thing that we as FDNs, especially, you know, like a newly graduate, we always have to be careful not to fall into the trap of really falling along the lines of what exactly the client works as wants. Like Reed said before, I mean, you know, it's my program and I would prefer for you to follow my advice, and we don't just jump to follow the symptoms, you know, here and there. And the reason I asked is just because she was very persistent, and she's one of these people, though she's not going to a doctor. So this is the other thing I thought, and I was very careful to explain, look, I'm not a substitute for your doctor, so if you do not want to go to a physician right now, that's basically your choice. But yeah, that's another area that we have to be very careful. So I was carefully choosing my words to explain to her that I can help her, guide her along, but definitely it's not a substitute for her doctor's advice.
Very good.
The very last one, when I have the screen here with the different tests, you know, from the DHA labs, and then the one with the energy wellness panel, but the highest one, if we decide to go that route, just so if she's so persistent, the last one is the one with the methylation. If she's so persistent about this, should I just go with the one that covers the methylation as well, or just the energy panel for women would be sufficient, you think, from what you usually run for your clients?
I would say the energy panel is probably enough. It'll give you a baseline feel for where she's starting. And you might be able to go through there through our functional blood chemistry training and pull out some of the main themes that you're seeing. You're not going to do a lot of direct, you know, support based on that, but you'll see some themes there that will kind of back up what you're seeing on other lab work and connect the dots there. So you might see five different things pointing toward, you know, liver issues. You might see that on with blood work and with testing. That helps guide you. So it's all these individual amounts of information and data coming in and starting to paint this picture and fill in the thing. Okay, I've got, you know, five things in the liver category. I've got four things over here in digestion as an issue. I see some things that maybe are pointing to anemia here, and it looks like hydrochloric acid looks like they might be fighting against some kind of microorganism. You might see all these things in the blood work, which is cool to see, to be able to pull that out of it. That's what we train you to do there with the functional blood chemistry. But you really want those other labs to back up so you have more actionable steps you can take.
I cannot thank you enough, Brandon. And the very first thing would be the GI map, no question. So I will try to convince her that will be the most valuable. And as you said, always goes back to the gut. Thank you so much, Brandon. Pleasure speaking with
you're welcome.
Listening to this show, and all the best. And I just wish all the best for all of my FDN friends, and hopefully everyone is staying safe and enjoying the weather. Thank you. I hope I didn't take too much of your time. Thank you.
Nope, you did fine. We appreciate that. Awesome, Rainey. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, very cool. Rainey, always good to hear from you there. We got plenty of time and no hands were raised. Maybe we were both waiting on your awesome questions there. So, that's real world challenges right there that she's talking about. And I think we all as practitioners have to work through that. And I truly feel that it's our duty, and you're doing a disservice to your client by letting them dictate what you do and shortcut the program. Because I've done it before, right? Reed definitely warns against that, and we do, because I've done it before. And what happens invariably is you're only getting part of the picture, so you're getting partial results. And then you get a little more picture, and then you get a little more picture. And so the length of time it takes to accomplish this that could be done in months takes years. Or person does some things, does the work, and then refuses to go further, because you didn't talk about retesting and didn't do the complete thing. And 3 years later, they call you, and they're back where they were 3 years ago, and all the work that you did was totally a waste. That bugs me quite a bit. Right now, we can't control people, but you've got to step up there and not apologize for how you work, what you do, why you work the way that you do, and explain that to them, put that out there. If they don't want to receive that and take that and agree with that, that's their thing. So, but it's holding that line there with people. So, really, best you can, as much as possible, draw that line and don't allow people to dictate how you work, because they really don't know. Everybody, every human, I'm going to say this, at least everyone that I know, we want to see what we can do, the least amount that we can do to solve the problem, right? The least amount of effort or money or time or anything. So, what's the minimum I have to do to make this thing go away? That's why intelligent allopathy or pharmaceuticals are so popular. I have a problem, whatever symptom it is. What's the easiest thing I can do to get rid of that? It's to pop a little pill, right? So it's part of this human nature thing. Same thing with this. So they might say, okay, well, I'm not a pharmaceutical person. I don't like that. I don't want to go do the doctor thing and do all that symptom addressing. I don't want to do that. I like this natural thing. This natural thing is so cool, the root cause and you know, figuring out why it's happening, and I want to be healthy for a long time. Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. I get that. Then that little, okay, what's the minimum I have to do to get that result still comes in. So that's a battle that's often very common with people. And I think it's where we have to step up and be truthful to them. This is the best thing you can do for the quickest results, give us the most information. This is why I'm saying the investment and going further and doing this full program here is really going to be the key. And the more time you do this, the more experience you have, the more passionate you're going to be about that. And you're going to, that's going to come forward. And you're going to have any question when you say to somebody, you need to do this full thing. Or say to them, this is my program and this is what you have to do. So anything less than this, I can't work with you. Hard line to draw there, but it's going to make you happier as a practitioner because you're going to have all the information. Your hands aren't going to be tied. You're not going to be working with limited information or a really super limited budget and them, again, dictating to you what you need to get true results with them. So that's a real-world struggle there, and that's just human nature. I guess we all do that, right? So what's the most expensive way I can deal with this problem? Sometimes the most expensive way is the best way. So there you go. I can buy a Toyota Camry to get from here to the next city, or I can do it in Ferrari. And, I'd look cool in Ferrari, but I'm still going to get there with the Camry. So maybe the most expensive option is not necessarily the way to go. But a lot of times you're going to get bit by the least expensive option there, if it even does solve the problem. So tough thing there sometimes to do that, but you've got to lay that down because it is the best thing for them. If you believe in what you're doing, believe in this methodology, if you know, I should re-correct me a few weeks ago, and I'm trying to make sure my vocabulary is right. I talked about belief and have faith in the system. Reed said, beyond that, you just know, right? So it's not even, I think it's going to work. I have complete trust in it. It's beyond that. It's that you know this works. You've seen it time and time and time again. These things have been proven over and over and over again. And any shortcuts probably aren't, well, they're just going to be that. Shortcut has a negative connotation to it. A shortcut is generally, oh, I got there, but I sacrificed some things along the way, or it was a shortcut, and really it didn't really get me to where I wanted to get to. I got lost on the shortcut. So sticking to your guns about the way you work, and because you want that person ultimately what's best for them. It's not necessarily what's best for your pocketbook or your business, per se. It's what's best for that person. What's best for that person might be working with somebody else, or a medical doctor, or they need a counselor, or something. Psychologist, they need somebody in that realm. So whatever's best for the client. So if you do that, treat people well, do what's best for the client, get good results, you're going to be successful in this. You have your bills paid, you'll enjoy your life, you'll enjoy the work that you do. If we toe that line, because we ultimately it's comes from a benevolent spot, it comes from goodness. It's not, oh, I want everybody to have and do my top level package and spend the most time as possible and run as many labs. No, it's because that's what works and that's what it takes. And it does take all that. If they don't value their health that much, that's their thing. You can talk them through that, handle some objections, and kind of paint the picture for them what things could be, but ultimately they have to make that decision. Okay, that's a good topic. That's a good one there. So, nice. Good job, Brandy. Thanks for bringing that up. Hopefully that helps you guys. So, all right, we got about 12 minutes left in the call today, and I see a lot of you guys finally hopped on. Good to be with you guys today. Again, to call in, it's 347-637-1378, and happy to answer some questions here for you guys. All right, I had a few more here on my list. We got a few minutes left here. Okay, here's another supplement question here. I guess intelligent allopathy is kind of the theme for today with these questions. So I need help understanding the rationale on why we would provide licorice root in the morning, given the fact in this case the client has high cortisol in the morning. So I think this person is looking at like a case in the course and questioning some of the recommendations here. I didn't look at the case, I admit. I'll just try to answer this in a general way. I understood why it's given in the evening. She's a bit low for nighttime cortisol, but not in the morning. Wouldn't the licorice raise it even more than she already has in the morning? If FDN range is 10 to 18, she's already at 18.7. Is there any reason why we would provide this for the morning? So licorice root extract, the supplement, it falls in that intelligent allopathy category again. So it's something that if a person has a few criteria met, it might be something you might recommend to that person temporarily to help with this low energy issue is typically the thing. So if you see times in there in the day, I'm going to say during the day, probably not at night, for sure not at night. During the day when cortisol is very low, the person has low energy, and they don't have high blood pressure. So sort of those three criteria you want to think about meeting with licorice root there. So the idea of licorice root here is that the conversion or deactivation of cortisol into cortisone, which is measured on some of the different hormone tests, that if that deactivation conversion is happening, then licorice root slows that process. So a person may be making plenty of cortisol, like the brain is getting the signal to the adrenal glands. HPA axis is really working okay. It knows there's stress. It's responding to that stress by producing cortisol. So that's working fine. It's just that cortisol is not being utilized. It's not getting to tissues. They're not feeling the benefit of the cortisol that their body is properly producing. It's happening. You can have a shunt over from cortisone to cortisol. Other way around. Cortisol to cortisone, going to zone. So cortisol to cortisone shunt. With that, the body's, a lot of times you're going to have some fatigue, right? So that can help in those cases. Usually you keep it somewhat limited to maybe a few weeks or 4 weeks or so, 30 days is about it. And the idea here is that we want the body to be making energy better on its own. And this shunt from cortisol to cortisone, this is happening for multiple reasons. Inflammation, infection, obesity, pain, all the things that we, detoxification, all the things we work on, there's a reason why the body's doing that. It's going back to the thyroid becoming underactive. Same thing with this cortisol to cortisone shunt. You have to look deeper. It's begging you to say, hey, look deeper, figure out why this deactivation is happening. Why can't this cortisol be utilized? So you do all the things within FDN, and you're going to see if you have data on that, either with testing. That's why whenever you retest on a 205 or stress and hormone panel, sometimes you see cortisol to go way up considerably on a retest. And it's like, wow, why is this happening? Could have been that the person was shunting a lot of this cortisol into cortisone, and now that you've fixed the underlying issues there, this cortisol is being better utilized. And probably going to report they feel a ton better. So that's sort of the idea of the licorice root. I don't use it on every single person, that's for sure. I want to meet those criteria, usually for a short time, and that can help. But, you know, again, the body's doing that for a reason. Figure out why. Same thing with melatonin. Okay, why is that not being produced? Why is that not functioning like it should? So going back to those foundational things. But cool product. It tastes pretty good. I like real licorice root. It's pretty tasty. Yucky licorice candy, maybe not so much, but it's pretty tasty, so it can be good. So use it judiciously. All right, 7 minutes left in the call here, and all right, hey, another hand raised. All right, 406 area code. What's your name, 406?
Hey there, this is Avery again.
Well, hey, Avery, you're becoming a regular.
Hey. Yeah. Well, I missed the beginning of the call, and I'm not sure if you guys answered my question that I had on the Facebook group. It was about animal protein, hormones, and animal protein.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was hoping Brendan was going to be on with me for that one, but I did think through it a little bit, and I'll give a stab at it here. How about that?
Okay, cool.
Yep. You want me to read what you had posted there, or do you want to say the question on air?
Yeah, I'll say the question. So pretty much I've just been approached by some people who are major soy consumers, and they were wondering, you know, if soy is okay for acne sufferers, because my mom is an esthetician. Anyways, she didn't really know how to respond to the question that asking if animal protein has a lot of hormones that you can, you know, get from eating animal protein, kind of the same, you know, with soy, if it's kind of similar in that same aspect, you know, if like eating chicken or cow meat is, you know, you get a lot of estrogen from that, And I honestly just don't know the answer at all for that. And I think it's something that we might run across a lot, especially for me in my practice. So yeah, if you have any advice or information on that.
Gotcha. Good question. I didn't research this to kind of see what was out there. I'm sure this has been addressed by folks in the paleoprimal group for sure. That's one thing I really appreciate about that whole movement, if you wanted to call that, is that you've kind of debunked a lot of the myths that animal products, if they're raised properly, right, so humanely raised and raised in a good natural environment, it's dispelled a lot of the myths that animal products are bad for us. So a little more balanced with the science and maybe not so agenda-driven as things have been in the past. So I would assume, I'm going to say that based on what I know, I would say that, yes, there are hormones. They're naturally occurring in animal products. Now, other than like them that are pumped into the animal, just naturally occurring, they've been there. And I would say that we've obviously been eating those for thousands of years. So if those products, or maybe not sure where this person is going here, so or where the question is kind of leading here. So this person says maybe that's why people should do a vegan diet or not consume animal products or limited animal products there because the hormones in there are causing some problems. Well, yeah, there's some plant-based hormones as well that can have effect on the body. So
yeah,
it's one of those things where
like
I don't know if there's...
I'm sorry, it was... I think it's kind of more like a defensive... I think it's more of a defensive thing because she asked about tofu and soy and asked my mom, you know, is that okay for acne? My mom was like, well, it's very estrogenic. So I tell my clients to avoid eating too much soy, and soy is in a lot of things. And then, you know, she was kind of defensive and like, yeah, well, animal protein has a bunch of hormones too. So I was kind of like, I needed some guidance on how to respond to such a question,
gotcha.
You know, or statement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you got to think, too, if the person is, if it is just defensive and they do have some preconceived ideas and aren't open to questioning and getting some information about that, I think that's the first step to learning there. I was just listening to something this morning. I don't know if it was Aristotle or Socrates or somebody said one of the I'll butcher this quote here, but basically the gist of it was that a sign of intelligence is being able to take another person's belief and analyze it without a lot of emotion tied with it or not to accept it as your own. So just look at it and say, okay, let's look at the objective data, and wherever that falls, it falls. So it may be kind of a losing cause there if the person really to know they just want to keep their beliefs and wants to think about things that only support their beliefs. They're not actually looking. They're not honestly seeking. We'll say that. They're not an honest seeker trying to really say what is the most healthy thing for that person. It's just one of those arguments that's going to probably lead to frustration. So I think in that case, if it is that case, I would just take the high road and try to just gently say why you think that would be. Keep a good relationship with that person. You're probably not going to convince them if they're not an honest seeker. So exercise and futility. So take the high road, be loving, and be nice to that person. Maybe one day that'll be remembered, and you'll have more of an influence that way if, you know, you're seen as a person that, you know, didn't make fun of them or didn't come in their face and argue with them when maybe they've come around to some other different way. And then you can have more of an influence on that person, have a good relationship with that person. So aside from the actual question here, I think it sounds like maybe where it's leaning. But keep in mind, with acne itself, you've got lots of potential causes for acne, right? So it could be a hormonally driven thing, could be a detoxification thing, you know, it could be a gut issue, could be so many different things causing it. So it's also going back to trying to be way too reductionistic and say, oh, this one thing is causing this one result in my body. Probably not the case. And considering we need different kinds of protein to be able to detoxify properly, a lack of protein in the diet can actually impede detoxification. So it's more complex than just, oh, this is bad and this is good. Things in the dietary world aren't always so black and white.
Absolutely. I totally follow along with that, and I get that. Mm-hmm. You know, I just was wondering if there was any truth to hormones and in animal meat,
right.
And if, you know, it could be estrogenic or, you know, such. But it seems like, you know, if they are raised in a good environment and they aren't fed artificial hormones, you know, it's probably going to be mm-hmm. not so yeah. much. That's what I believe
in. The best
you
can
do. I'm interested to hear what, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the best you can do
and, yeah, we,
on that. And
we were very gentle with her and like, you know,
right.
this isn't an argument.
Well,
like,
yeah.
she's like, I
yeah,
did argument.
You can
I'm
tell.
Like, well, this isn't an argument. Like, just giving you the information you asked for, so.
Yep, that'll be that. So maybe we can pick it up on the next call here. Maybe do some research and know for sure. We'll see what comes up on the Facebook page as people chime in on that one. So if there's been some testing done, but yeah, I'm a meat eater. I'm a protein type, metabolic type, and so my body works better and thrives better on protein than not. So even if the quality is not as good as it possibly could be, it's probably for my body type is going to be an advantage to have that. So very good. All
yeah,
right. Awesome. All right. So awesome. Avery, thanks for that question too. We've got a couple of seconds left in the call. Guys, hopefully that was helpful to you. Avery and Rennie, thanks for calling in with those questions. And our graduates, Katie and Kiara, congratulations, ladies. And you guys have an awesome weekend. Enjoy it, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.